Well, hello, and once again, we want to welcome those who are gathering with us today by Facebook and by various other means. Certainly, my prayer is that God will be with you, even though we may not be meeting here personally today because of the fear of spreading COVID here. We don't want to do that at this point in time, and since we have had it in our midst, we want to take every precaution that we can in not having people here today. Before we get started, we do want to go to the Lord in prayer, if you would. Let's bow our heads together. Our dear Lord, as we come before you at this time, Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord, and we thank you for the time that you've allowed us to come together. And Father, I pray that you would be with us today, even in a mighty way, even though that, Lord, we may not be here physically all together, that, Lord, you'll be with us as we join together, Lord, over the internet. And Father, I just pray that your blessings will be upon your people this day, that, Lord, you might feed them, that, Lord, you might be with me and enable me to speak the things that, Lord, I need to say, and give me a measure of strength to do so, Father. Lord, I just pray that you go with us now. Again, forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. Be with your people here at Grace, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, it was my pleasure to finish the Gospel of Mark, which for us was a very big study. It's the longest study that we've engaged ourselves in here at Grace. It has been our practice from the very beginning of our ministry here to go through books of the Bible. The very first one we went through was the book of Genesis, and then Exodus, and we've been through several since then, but Mark was certainly seemingly the largest study that we've done so far, and I gained a great appreciation as we went through that gospel each and every week, and I hope it was a blessing to you as we went through that. Following that service, and we were no longer live, I tearfully read to you my resignation. It personally is a decision that I've been dealing with for quite some time. It is not something that I take lightly at all, but it is something that I feel is very right for me at this time and right for this church at this time. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt how much I truly love you. I wish circumstances were different this morning and that we could all be around each other this morning physically. But I know that you're with me. And I know that you are praying for me even now. We are together spiritually, even though we may not be together physically. Now, since I only really have a couple of messages left as officially as your pastor, and as I say that, understand that I'm not going anywhere, and I'm going to do my best to fill in as I need to and to do that kind of thing. But as we have the next couple weeks, kind of my last official messages, so to say, I'm going to be maybe a little more sentimental in these messages than maybe I normally am. So with that in mind, if you would, turn with me to the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians in chapter 1. And as you look in Philippians chapter 1, understand that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing this letter to the church at Philippi, which was the first Christian church, by the way, founded on the European continent. But he writes this letter from prison, like he does most letters that it seems like he writes, right? But he writes this letter most likely while he is under house arrest in the city of Rome. That's most likely the time period that he wrote this. And I suppose that when you're under house arrest that you have a lot of time to think. A lot of people have been quarantined lately. You've had time to sit around and think and to reminisce. And Paul, as he begins this letter, began to reminisce about the time that he spent with them there. And he had a fond memory of the saints that were there at Philippi. And he begins this letter just by reminiscing with them. And I want you to begin reading with me in verse 3, and we're going to read down through verse number 11. It says, I thank my God for every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you with all the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Let's return back to verse number 3. Paul here begins his letter very fondly. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. It was the fall of 2007, around Thanksgiving, that I received a call from Brother Bob Patton asking me to come and to preach a few weeks while he was spending the holidays with his family in Texas. I had never visited Grace before, and I'd only recently met Brother Bob at a fellowship meeting. To be honest, I had at that point in time only been to Cerrito a couple times in my life. Once I remember to go to Rocco's, once I remember to go to Austin's. But other than that, I don't even really remember ever being in Cerrito at that point in time too much. And I certainly didn't even know this church existed. My family and I were the first to arrive the day that we came. Austin was just starting the third grade. Sarah was in pre-K. And we pulled in and we began to wait. It wasn't very long before Sister Reva came. And she unlocked the door. And she gave, very characteristically of Reva, those grace hugs that we've grown so used to. She quickly took us on a tour of the church. And soon after, others filed in, like Janice, Corinna, the Praters. Ethan was still in high school in those days. Services were a little different back then. We didn't have the fellowship hall next door, but there was a large Sunday school classroom over there, and we would go next door. And I remember Brother Greg giving the lesson that day, and I wish that I could remember what he taught about. But I remember that we talked about it for quite a long time, in a good way, Brother Greg, in a good way. But we talked about it for quite some time. When we came back into the sanctuary, others had gathered, like Dorsey and Barbara. And everyone else seemed to file in as well and were so friendly and supportive. From the very first day that I stepped foot in this church, it felt like home. I had grown up in one church for nearly all of my life. I had visited other churches when I was in college. They were never home. The only church that I ever knew as home was Big Creek. But from the very first visit, this church felt that way. It felt like home. And after preaching a few Sundays in a row for you, I didn't hear from you for a while. But I want you to know that the Lord was dealing with me as far as being pastor before you even called me, before I even knew you were thinking about having me as a candidate. On January 27th, 2008, after the church extending a call, I preached in this service. And I announced that I felt led to take the church here at Grace. It wasn't long before Dennis and Kristen and their young family began to come and visit as well. In March of that year, Sister Kristen made a profession of faith, and she was the first person I baptized here at Grace. There have been many more since then, and for that I am very thankful. That's something I always find great joy in. Over the years, we've been blessed with so many others who have joined us along the way. It is hard for me to remember what services was like before there was a Randy and Nancy, and before there was a Randy and Brenda, and a Jamie and Joe, and before there was a Rose as sweet as Sharon. It's hard to remember what services was like before the Jacksons and the Perrys. Of course, over the years, we have had some come and we've had some go. We've had some that have moved away. I think of the years that Sister Laura Boswell was instrumental in our services here, playing the piano, helping Austin learn to play the piano as well. To some degree, and getting him involved in that, and certainly appreciative of that. We've had many of our younger ones move away as well. We've had some move away that I wish were still here. But God has blessed us, folks. God has blessed us here at Grace. And I thank God for every remembrance that I have of you. In verse 4, it says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy." Paul here states that he counted it a joy to intercede for the Philippians in prayer. He loved praying for them. It brought him joy. As your pastor, I can honestly say it has been my joy. It has been my joy, it has been my honor, it has been my privilege to pray for you, to pray for your health, to pray over your jobs, to pray over your families, to pray for the loss that you've had on your hearts. And one of my favorite things to do is when I come into this church, even as I am today, and you're not there, but in my mind you're there. Because I see you where you sit. You know, we all kind of have those pews that we sit in. And even though you're not there today, you're there in my mind. But one of the things I love to do is actually stand right where I'm standing and go through pew by pew and pray for the saints here at Grace. And I count it an all joy to do that. And I pray that God might strengthen you. Pray that He might settle your anxieties and your fears. Pray that He may save your children and your grandchildren. Pray that God may protect you daily. Likewise, I want you to know that I have appreciated very greatly over this last week. It has been a joy to me for all those at Grace that have called me to tell me how much they're praying for me and my family as well. Folks, it's good to know that people are praying for you, and I would ask for your continued prayers as well. As we read on now to verse number 5, it says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." One of the things that Paul was joyful over was how the saints at Philippi aided in the sharing of the gospel when he was there. They were eager to invite their friends, their family, even strangers to know Christ. And folks, that is such a good testimony for Paul to have concerning the members of this church. And I too can honestly say that I've enjoyed your fellowship in the gospel from the first day even until now. You have invited your friends, you've invited your family, you've brought your children, your grandchildren. Keep on inviting them. Keep on inviting them. Keep on inviting other people, because why? The future of this church depends upon sharing the gospel with other people and bringing them in. Someday, and hopefully it won't be a long day in the future, we will call a new man as pastor. And just remember, it is his priority in this church to preach the Word of God from week to week. And if he is faithful to that, and if he has to work a regular job, and if he has a family as well, he is going to be severely taxed just to do just those things. Don't expect a man to come in here and to be able to go out and to do it all himself. To bring people in like we've never brought them in before. Don't expect that. He needs my help and he needs your help. Because we are in this together. We are a partnership in the gospel of Christ. In verse number 6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Paul now writes to them concerning the surety of their salvation. This verse really points us to the eternal security that we have in our salvation. When we are truly saved of God, He begins a work in us and He never stops that work in us until the day that we die and we go to be in His presence. Now, Scripture also teaches us that some who come into our midst may make a profession of faith, but are never truly saved. They are chaff among the wheat. Jesus describes this very clearly in the Word of God. He tells us that these are seeds that are sown by the enemy. They fall on stony ground and they die out very soon because they lack roots. These aren't people that are saved and then lost. They were never saved to begin with. And they can't pretend forever. So they come and they go. Unfortunately, we have seen some come into our midst here at Grace that have made a profession of faith and seemed like they were off to a very good start at the first. But it wasn't very long before they were right back out there in the world, not caring about the assembling of themselves together, not caring for the things of God. I'm not going to call out names, but I know that if you roll over the years in your mind, you'll come up with a few yourself. I want you to pray for those that have come into our midst. Pray for their true salvation. If they were of us, they would have continued with us. But because they weren't of us, they went out from us. But we have a desire for them to come, to truly know the Lord as Savior of their lives. They heard the gospel while they were here. Pray that someday that it may take root. In verse number 7, it says, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace." Paul is saying it is good for him to have the feelings that he has towards them in his heart. Not only had they physically been partakers with him in the sharing of the gospel, but they had financially been partakers with him as well. Even sending him money while he was under house arrest, when many others had given up on him, the Philippians had not. They didn't give up on him, even though that things did not look good for him at the time. You know, I've never asked this church for anything financially, but you have given to me you've given to me month after month and year after year. And you've given me more and more. You've taken care of me. You've taken care of my family for quite some time. Soon we will be looking at another man to fill this spot. I encourage you to be good to him as you have been to me. Let's give him all we can afford to give him. I never had the ability to be a full-time pastor. When the Lord called me to preach, I was just a few short years and very heavily in debt, building my own practice. There was never a choice about working for me. But I will say, the more that we can do to help someone not to have to spend 40 hours a week working, the better off we will be, because he will have the ability to spend more time in the Word of God, more time focusing upon the church of God, more time working in the community that we live in. I once had a missionary that our church still supports today, and I think so much of, tell me that he would rather a church spend every bit of their money on their pastor before they would spend a dime on a missionary. And what he meant by that is, the more that we can make it a full-time position, the better off we are, because the church will grow. And when the church grows, he knows the money will come for the missionaries later. Your pastor is the greatest missionary you will ever support. As I have said, I appreciate everything that you have given to me, and I cannot complain, not one bit. The Lord has blessed me, not only here, but with a good job outside of here as well. The next guy that comes may not have the blessing of already having a job here. He may have to find a job here. It may, you know, of course, it's going to take money to come here, that kind of thing. There's much to be considered, and we need to be very attentive as to the needs of him and his family as he begins that journey. Verse number 8 says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you, all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." Now, I'm fully aware that we don't really talk this way anymore. But for just a moment, think about when you get really nervous. When you get really nervous and anxious, where do you feel it at? You feel it down in your stomach. You feel your stomach begin to roll. The bowels were thought to be the place of great emotion. That's where our deep emotions came from, is what they believed. The ESV translates it this way. It says, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus." And the Greek phrasing here is really one of the greatest ways that love can be expressed towards someone else. Paul is saying, as God is his witness, folks, he is swearing before God his love for the saints at Philippi. I hope by now it is obvious, it is evident, that I love the saints here at Grace. It is such a joy for me to see you all from week to week come in through these doors. We've had a rough go of it here lately, with the restrictions, with COVID that we've had on our services. And seemingly right when things were seeming like they were going to improve and we were going to be able to get back to even more to normal, things got a little worse, and certainly it's gotten worse at home with it coming through my house. And here I am standing before you before a camera once again. I'm thankful that I have that ability, but I don't like it. And I don't like the way that we have to meet right now. I long for the days, the way that it was, the days that we could come in and hug each other the way that we hugged each other. I miss our third Sunday fellowships, our 4th of July cookout. I look forward to those times again. I wish I knew when those times were going to be. I wish I knew when all this was going to be over. But for now, it is what it is. But know in the end, I love the saints here at Grace. I love your families. And I know that the day is coming when I may no longer be called your pastor, but understand the love that I have for you will never change. It will never change. And in verse number 9, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Paul had a prayer for the people that he loved so much there at Philippi. He prayed that their love might abound, that they might abound in knowledge and in judgment, or discernment is another way that we could say that word, judgment. And folks, that is a good prayer. It's a wonderful prayer to have, and I pray the same prayer even for the saints here at Grace. I know that losing a pastor is never an easy thing. I lost a lot of pastors, seemingly, growing up. And I know the disappointment that's there and the fear that's there of not being able to find people and things of that nature. I know that there's already dread when faced with that thought. But don't worry. God is going to supply. God is going to supply. You know, God knew about this long before I ever did. I pray that during this time, though, that our love for one another might actually grow stronger. I pray that when the man whom the Lord desires to lead this flock comes, that God will give him the ability to love you with an even greater love than I have loved you. And that He will give us a love for Him and His family like we've never had before. I pray that through His preaching, you might find knowledge. You've heard me preach for more than 12 years. And I don't have much to say that you haven't heard me say already. And sometimes things you've heard me say 15 times before. So let's pray that whomever the Lord may send to fill this spot, that they are a student of the Word more than anything else, that they have the ability to teach the Word so that we can increase in knowledge. And not just knowledge, right, but judgment, discernment. You know, we're not here to learn something maybe that's necessarily new or something that's tickling our ears, but something that lines up with what the Word of God says. I pray that whomever the Lord may send, that He will send us one who practices discernment to preach the Word of God as it is written, line upon line and precept upon precept. I want someone who is concerned with what the Bible says more than what Brother Baptist says down the street. I'm more concerned with someone who is discerning truth of the Word of God more than tradition. Pray that your pastor lovingly discerns the Word of God and shares that knowledge with us from week to week. And if he does that, then folks, love and knowledge and discernment are going to increase with us as well. Let's read on, verse number 10. It says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. This verse is directly related to the discernment that Paul talked about in the last verse. His prayer is that The discernment that they will have will cause them to seek out things that are good. You know, we all live in this world, and this world is full of all kinds of earthly charms, things that look good to us in the flesh, and sometimes, even as Christians, we can talk ourselves into those things, even when we know better. Listen, we understand that sin among the membership hurts the church. It hurts the strength of the church. It is a barrier in the church when we are in sin between us and God. Not only that, it causes people from the outside who are watching us to believe that we're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites here. I pray that the Lord might give us discernment to seek after those things which are good, to seek after those things which are excellent. At the end of this verse, Paul speaks about being sincere. It's a way of saying pure, that is, without offense, until the day of Christ. This is Paul's desire that the church might be pure when the Lord comes again. You know, I don't know when the Lord is coming back. I know during times like we've been having, we all tend to think about that a little bit more. But Christ could come today, and Christ may come 100 years from now. Please understand that, folks. I know that there's a lot of people that would like to say that face masks are a sign of the times, but I don't find that. It could come today, yes, absolutely, but again, it might be another 100 years. But one thing I'm sure, and that is that I'm closer today than I was when I began my ministry here some 12 years ago. So just be ready. Just be ready. Always be ready. Be ready for Him to come. And let's seek to be pure when He does. My desire has always been to present you as a faithful bride. And now my prayer is that God may send us someone who will further lead us in faithfulness, even more so in the days to come. Then our last verse for today, verse number 11, says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Paul's last part of his prayer here, and that's what his admonition turned into, a prayer. But Paul's last part of his prayer was the hope that they would be more like Christ. Be more like Christ. Brothers and sisters, my prayer is for you and forever will be to be more like Christ. My prayer is that our young men like Ethan and Austin and Trey and Zach, that they might be more like Christ. My prayer is that our young ladies like Sarah and Bethany and Kennedy might be more like Christ. My prayer is that our fathers and our mothers, like Jessica, Jason, Stephanie, Corey, and Micah, might be more like Christ. My prayer is that our deacons, Greg and Joe, might be more like Christ. That our older women, like Dreema and Reva and Janice and Barbara, might be more like Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go through and name everybody in church. But my prayer for you today is that you might be more like Christ. Every person here, from the quietest to the loudest, every person here from the youngest to the oldest has a place here at this church. A role to fulfill. And I pray that as you take up your place, you might be more like Christ each and every day. And I pray that whomsoever the Lord will send to us, that God may create in him the desire to be more like Christ every day. As I mentioned last week, the church will never grow stronger than the one who is leading it. And I pray that whomever that person may be that leads us next will indeed be the kind of person who is worth following because he is following after Christ. Thank you again, my beloved saints here at Grace. I love you all. Let's pray. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as I come before you again today, Lord, I thank you for this time together. And Lord, I thank you for every remembrance that I have of the saints here at Grace. Lord, I pray your blessings upon them from day to day, week to week, and year to year, until you come again. Bless them even now, I pray, O Lord. Be with their families, their loved ones. Be with their health. Be with their jobs. Be with everything that comes upon them, Father. And that, Lord, they may seek you in all things. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.